And so let's stand together. We look in Job chapter number 19. Amen. You listen fast. I'll preach fast. I got stuck working in the rain, cutting a tree down yesterday with Sam. He liked to kill both of us. And we did get it down. And we thank the Lord for it. That guy was cutting it down for was talking to him before, and Sam was talking about my knees is shaking and I'm a little nervous. And that guy, Brother Tim, he said, well, you'll be all right as long as you're not like that guy that climbed up the top of the Empire State Building and he fell off and said he passed every floor and every window he looked in. He said, so far, so good. So far, so good. So far, so good. Amen. You can only say that so many times. And so we was out in the rain working, all boogered up this morning. And you pray for us. I want to be a help and a blessing. Just got a few thoughts I want to share with you. Job 19, and I'm interested in the whole chapter, specifically a few verses. But let's see what we need to do here. Begin in verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. Be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my paths. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me. He counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? In first 22 verses there, I mean, buddy, you talk about a killjoy passage. Job is talking about all the things that are going on in his life, how he views everything when he looks around and what's going on, how he's being treated or mistreated, and how he feels about the story of his life. We'll deal with some of that. In verse number 23, he said, oh, that my words were now written. Job didn't know what we know today about the story of Job and what God was doing. And you talk about a prayer being answered. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Verse 25 would be the main thought that we want to preach from this morning. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, but ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. Verse 25 again, Job said, for I know, I know, amen, I know. And I want to preach on that this morning. And I guess we're dealing with the hope of Job or some things that Job knew. And we want to give that to you this morning. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I do humbly bow to ask in prayer one more time, knowing, Lord, in myself dwelleth no good thing. Knowing, Lord, that in myself I can do no eternal work or even a good thing in this place today. Lord, I'm completely dependent upon you, Lord, to be a help and a blessing and encouragement, a soul stir this morning. Lord, if any of that is going to happen, Lord, it'll have to happen by the Spirit of the Lord and your presence moving and working in this place. And so, Lord, take us far beyond ourselves and our own abilities and capabilities. Lord, we confess, Lord, we have very, very little to none this morning, Lord, to even lean upon. I pray for these that have made their way, the house of God, for whatever reason that they're here. Lord, I'm asking today that, Lord, it would be by a divine appointment. Lord, maybe they are here, Lord, just to please a friend or a family member. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, all of us would have an encounter with God today. And that, Lord, what our soul needs, we would find in the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word this morning. Lord, I'm well aware I'm preaching to some hurting people today. Lord, some people that, Lord, have been through a lot of trying times and trying situations and Lord, are left without any answers. And Lord, they feel that even Job felt, Lord, in his time. Lord, I'm preaching to others that are lost and are undone. Lord, they do not know the reality of the power of the gospel and a changed life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning the Spirit of the Lord would make that real to them, draw them. And Lord, all that you do, we'll be careful to bless you and to thank you. And Lord, make sure you get all the credit that we get none. It's in Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. I think we're all pretty familiar with the story of Job, at least the concept of his story, even in the realms of the world and people that are not frequent, do not frequent church, are familiar with Job through statements of being poor as Job's turkey, whatever that meant. Amen. There's a reference there, even in our society to this day, to this man of history and this man of old known as Job and what he went through. A man that we understand faced great hardship, and a man that is known as we think about the many times when we focus on the life of Job, we recall and we identify a man that seemingly lost everything that he had. When we think about Job, we think of a man who experienced great loss. And we're not preaching on all this today, but Job lost his finances. He lost his flesh at being his health. He lost even his family, having buried each of his children. And in many ways, he lost his friends. By the time we reach Job 19, there's such contention between them that Job feels as though even his very friends have turned their back against him, and he's lost the joy of their relationship. And so the book of Job, make no mistake about it, covers a lot of the things that Job lost. And sometimes we try to make a connection to Job, and we can by small measure, but there's no one here this morning that has lost as much as Job lost in the short amount of time that Job lost all that he lost. And yet we do identify with him through loss in our own life in these very matters that we regard in the book of Job. But this morning, however, what I'm interested in is this statement and this thought is that the book of Job is not as much about that Job has lost as much as it is what Job did not lose. We focus on what he lost, and he lost, and he had a great loss and many losses and things I don't even want to begin to comprehend and imagine what that might be like. Some of us can identify with some of these regards, but Job no doubt had a great loss. But I want to remind you this morning that there were some great things that Job did not lose, no matter the hardship and the trouble and the trial that Job went through. And when we think about the things that Job did not lose, we can say in Job chapter number 1, that Job did not lose his faith. Amen. When he lost all that he owned and even had to bury his 10 children, amen, it was Job, this great man of faith, that amen, that next to the freshly dug graves of his children, amen, was able to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And no doubt with a broken heart, and no doubt he said it through tears, and hot tears and passionate tears rolling off of his cheek. But somehow down in the depths of Job, did not lose his faith. In Job chapter number 2, we could say that Job did not lose his integrity. For in chapter number 2, he goes from having lost things in the earthly realm, relationships and riches, to now the Lord has allowed Satan to touch his health. And with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, and sitting in an ash heap in a potsherd pile, scraping the boils and the sores from off of his body. His very wife came to him and said, Job, dost thou retain thine integrity? And she challenged Job to curse the very God who was his creator and the one that he followed. And she said, curse him and die. But Job, the Bible said, amen, he refused to do that. And then the word of God and the Holy Ghost said, and all this Job sinned not with his lips, and he retained his integrity. That is, in chapter number 2, he kept doing what was right. Amen. Just because he was hurting, and just because he was in this time of trial in his life, he did not use that to justify becoming something that he knew better than to be. He stayed faithful to God. He stayed faithful to the truth. He stayed faithful to the word or the portion of it that was revealed to him in that dispensation of time. And in all of that, Job did not lose his integrity. Amen. I believe we ought to strive to do that. Amen. We ought to strive, no matter where we're at, to keep our hope, our faith rather, and to not lose our integrity in what we're going through. When we come to Job chapter number 19, I think we can say in the midst of all of this, now much of this chapter, and we'll see it in a moment, is focused in on some of the helplessness that Job is feeling concerning what he's going through. He's looking around on a horizontal plane. Hey man, he's looking at all of this that is around him. Hey man, but and as we make our way through the first 22, 23, 24 verses, we find a man that, hey man, from an earthly realm and from an earthly place, hey man, has a lot of hopelessness. Hey man, but right in the midst of all of that, Job says, hey man, I may have lost a lot of things as far as life is concerned, and it may have me busted wide open, and it may have me hurting beyond what I can even explain. But Job said, there are some things that I know. Amen. I call this in Job 19. Amen. He did not lose his faith. He did not lose his integrity. But here he did not lose his hope. Amen. For I know. Amen. Job said, I've got some things I'm a trusting in. I have some things that I am rock solid on. Amen. I may be living my life on sinking sand. Amen. Things that I've enjoyed in the past may have crumbled, and relationships had brought me great pleasure and great enjoyment in life. They may have seemed like they have disappeared, but amen, beyond all of this realm, there are some things that I know. Amen. And Job maintained his hope. And Job 19 is one of the great chapters in the scripture, especially concerning the story of Job and what Job is going through. And it deals with
Job in his hopeless situation. Amen. I'll get to the hope in a moment. Amen. But consider with me Job's description about his hopeless situation. I find this in the first 22 verses. Amen. Job said to his buddies, he said, 10 times now you've insulted me. Amen. 10 times you've laid accusation of me. And what I'm going through is because I have sinned against God, erred against God's word, and that I have something in my life that I don't want to confess, and therefore I'm in the shape that I'm in. And Job begins to explain where he's at. Amen. He said, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. Amen. And really he tells them, I've asked God, what have I done? Amen. And God has not given me judgment or discernment about that matter. He said, all I know is I feel hemmed up. All I know is I feel like I'm on trial. I'm told man a description of Job's hopeless situation. He felt stripped in verse number 9. He felt destroyed in verse number 10. He felt as though the wrath of God was against him in verse number 11. He felt like God had raised up enemies to encamp about him and to speak great shame and destruction into his life. He begins to talk about relationships that have been affected because of what he's going through, that even his brethren and his acquaintances have become strange to him. Verse 14, my kinsfolk have failed. Amen. My familiar friends, those that are family and the closest to me, have turned their back and walked away. Amen. He speaks of his servants and a man who one time had authority and people listened to what he had to say, are now turning their ear from what he has to say. There's no regard for how he feels. No authority in his life to command anything. Amen. Job is describing his hopeless situation. In verse 17, he said, my breath is strange to my wife. He said, even my wife won't even kiss me. I have been turned into a hideous creature. And my wife is not even affectionate to my condition and what I'm going through. Amen. He speaks of young children despising him and raising and speaking against it. Job, I think what I'm trying to say when we read these verses, amen, Job has not stubbed his toe. Amen. Job is really going through the ringer. Job has come up on something that, and he's going to describe in other places and say, the things that I feared the greatest have come to me, and now I am walking in the things that at one time I dreaded to even imagine I have to go through. This is a description about his hopeless situation. Amen. He has reached a point that from a human realm and from the earthly standpoint, amen, he's in a place of despair. He's in a place of destruction. He's in a place of discouragement. He's even in a place of depression. Amen. And you don't know what to do with all of this, amen, to try to handle it in an earthly realm, amen. And so Job describes something, amen, that in some regard or on some level, amen, because of what Job went through, we can say, you know what? I know something about what Job has faced. You ever been through despair? You ever felt like God was against you? Have you ever felt like God had done you wrong? Have you ever felt like it's never going to turn around? Have you ever felt like what I'm going through? Amen. Nobody else cares. Nobody else understands. Amen. That is the description of Job in his hopeless situation. Notice with me, we see that not only Job's description, amen, somebody say, man, it's a miracle that I just preached 22 verses in about 7 minutes. Amen. Notice with me verse 23 and 24. I see Job's desire for his hopeless situation. Job makes an interesting prayer or declaration. A desire is expressed in these verses. And Job is saying, basically, I wish the story of what I'm going through, and somebody would write it down. I wish somebody would make a detailed list of what I've gone through. I think Job knows that, amen, that Job knows others are going to face hardship. Amen. And he declares and desires and longs for this to be written down. I find it interesting. Job said, would to God that somebody would take a chisel and go to the stone and etch it with a chisel into the rock. Amen. And tell my story that it would endure. That God didn't put it on a rock. Amen. He put it in the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. Amen. So that even in this very hour and in this very resurrection Sunday, amen, those of us who have experienced great loss and are going through despair, amen, can read the story of one of God's greatest servants and know that, amen, if he faced these things, we can face these things. And that if God can bring him through, God can bring us through. Thank God the story of Job was written down. Amen. And I don't mean to make light of, and I'm not in any way even attempting to make light of what Job went through. But on my very worst day, I do find a little bit of comfort picking up the book of Job and going, well, it ain't as bad as what Job went through yet. Amen. Thank God for what the Lord entrusted Job to face. Amen. And to write down to let us know we can't make it through anything. Amen. By the power of the Lord. Notice with me Job's declaration. This is where we want to preach. Job's declaration in his hopeless situation. And you got to understand the balance that is found in this text. Amen. I'm not trying to give you a fairy tale this morning. I'm not trying to say that if we're, and in fact, the story of Job, the book of Job teaches contrary. Amen. We're not trying to tell you that if you're saved and right with God, amen, you're never going to have a hopeless tide, that you're never going to face despair, that you're never going to have to bury loved ones, that you're never going to have financial hardship. Amen. We're not making a declaration today, amen, that being saved and right with God is an easy road. Amen. Job faced a hopeless situation. But Job, in his hopeless situation, had a hope, amen, that went beyond what you could see. Amen. Verses 1 through 24. Amen. Job is looking downward. He's looking, my friend, earthly. Amen. But somehow between the end of verse 24 and the beginning of verse 25, amen, Job lift up his eyes a little bit higher. Amen. And he said, you know what? It may be hopeless. Amen. But let me go on record and let you know there are some things I know. I'm not a thinking so, hoping so, or maybe sowing on this. Amen. There are some things I know. There are some things I'm trusting. There are some hopes that I have. Amen. That abide and endure. And no matter what I'm facing, amen, I know these things I can trust. He, my friend, did not know about his friends. He didn't know about his family. He didn't know how things would turn out in the end about his finances. Amen. He didn't know if his flesh would ever be healed. My friend, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of my friend going through, amen, the greatest trials that a man could ever go through, this man looked up to glory. He said, let me go on record for a no. Amen. And I want to say this morning, amen, I'm glad I know it too. Same hope that Job retained as the hope that every child of God has here today. Amen. We're no different than Job. We suffer like Job. Amen. We have great loss like Job did. Can I remind you, we can have the same hope. Job said, I know, and he didn't even have a King James Bible. Job said, I know, and he didn't even have a pastor. Job said, there's some hope I have in things I know. Amen. And he didn't have a choir singing it up in him. Amen. Oh, ain't you glad today? Amen. We can know it even greater than Job knew it. Amen. And yet many a times, if we'll be honest, and I'll put myself in the group, and if this ain't you, you pray for the rest of us, you super duper spiritual person. There are days we look at this realm, we get so down and defeated. Can I just remind us today, you can look up. When you look up, you'll find your hope. So long as you're looking around here, when they ask you, how's it going? You're going, blah, 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 blah. If you can look up and go, you know what, it is bad around here, but let me tell you, there's some things I know. Do you want them this morning? I preached the first one. I'll mention, I got three. I preached the first one. I'll just throw the second two out if the Lord will let me. All right? Number one, notice with me, Job had a hope. He had hope in the fact that he had a Redeemer that was alive.
Amen.
For I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Job said, I've been through some great loss. I have had an up and close encounter with death and the heartache and the valley of the shadow of it. I have walked through it. I've been to the graveyard. I've buried my loved ones. I myself have been so sick and ill and weak and unhealthy that at death seems like it's at the door getting ready to claim me at any moment. And I don't know how this is all going to turn out. Amen. But here is my hope. I know my Redeemer liveth. Job had hope. Amen. He had the hope of a Redeemer that is alive. Amen. This is not only merely a declaration of the existence of God. Amen. And by the way, God does exist. Amen. And we believe that. That's our hope. Amen. But here is more than that. More so, a declaration of the hope that that he has a God that is concerned about him on a personal level. For I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
The hope that comes from this very statement is found in a personal relationship that Job had in God being his Redeemer.
Amen.
For I know my Redeemer liveth. I thought about that statement, some things involved in that. You say, who is his Redeemer? Now, let me just say plainly, I think Job has Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in view.
Amen.
I could run you all through the Old Testament and the New Testament to prove that. Let me give you one verse found in Revelation, chapter number 1. I believe it's verse number 19. Amen. Here's John in the Isle of Patmos. He hears a voice from heaven. He turns to see none other than the Lord Jesus. Here's what Christ told him. I am he that liveth.
Amen.
Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And so he has one in mind. I'm not saying Job knew everything that you and I know in the way that we know it. Amen. But he knew that he needed a Redeemer. Amen. He knew that the Son of God was the only one who could redeem him. I thought about this, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. Let me just say it this way. Amen. His Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Amen. The one that he knows is alive is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning, I'm glad when it comes to my life, my eternity, my days in this world and in the world that is to come. Amen. I'm glad I've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is not dead. He is alive. The same one in the Isle of Patmos to John. Amen. It's the one that Job has hope in. For I know my Redeemer liveth. Jesus said, I am he which liveth. And then he said, I am was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. In other words, I didn't just come into existence. I'm the one Job spake about. Amen. The one that liveth. I'm the one Isaiah prophesied. Amen. Being your creator and your redeemer that liveth. Amen. It is the same one in the Old Testament and the New. Amen. The same one we preach in this hour, in this time, and in this service. Amen. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. So when Job said, "For I know my Redeemer liveth," I thought about Christ in this statement. Amen. We could, I think, lift up out of this phrase, Brother Mike, we could draw a truth out of it about the price Jesus paid.
Amen.
My Redeemer. It is a word of purchase. It is a word that a price has been paid. Amen. It is a word identifying Christ, amen, as being the one that, amen, paid the redemptive price, the purchase price, the pardoning price on behalf of this man by the name of Job. There is in this statement the price that Jesus paid. Amen. My Redeemer, He had a Redeemer. Amen. One that could make the ultimate sacrifice and lay down, my friend, the price for his soul. Amen. One that can redeem him from the wages of his own sin. Amen. And can I say you'll find that in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Job said, my Redeemer. Now, amen, when I think about the price that Jesus paid in Job's consciousness of the fact that in that Christ is his Redeemer, and this lets me know that Job was not trusting in his treasure. Job was a wealthy man, and if redemption could be purchased by our money, Job would have been a man who could have, my friend, claimed and laid hold on his redemption through his own treasure. But Job didn't say, now that my treasure's all gone, I've lost my redemption. He said, all my treasure may be wiped out, but I wasn't trusting in treasure no how. Woo, hallelujah. Job was not trusting in treasure. Job was not, I wish I had a voice to preach. Amen. Job was not trusting in tradition. Job evidently had a lot of tradition that had been passed on when we were introduced to him in Job chapter number 1. Amen. We find a man who is fasting and praying, a man that is dedicated to religion, a man that has had some things passed down to him. But Job did not say, my hope is in my prayer life, my fasting, my religious activity. Job is literally disintegrating in hell. He can't even hardly pray, much less fast and go to church and be religious. Job wasn't trusting treasure. He wasn't trusting tradition. I thought about this. He wasn't even trusting, but Jack, transformation. Job is not trusting in the good works that he has done. Oh, I wish y'all would get behind me now. He is not trusting in turning a new leaf. He's not trusting in, hey man, when I'm doing a little better this year than I did back a few years ago. Oh no, friend. He did not say, for I know, amen, that my transformation is enough. Amen. Job is well acquainted with the fact, amen, that even on his very, very, very best day, he's still a sinner, deserves hell.
Amen.
What then is he trusting? I tell you what he's trusting. He is trusting, amen, in none other than the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For I know my Redeemer liveth. And I say this morning, amen, he had a hope. Amen, a hope in a Redeemer that is alive. Amen, he said, I don't know how it's all going to fare. I don't know how my life is going to end. I don't know if my bad situation will ever be turned back to good. This much I know. I'm trusting in one who is alive. Amen, not my treasure, not my tradition. Amen, not my transformation. I'm believing that my Redeemer is alive. Thank God for the day. I realized the only way you could be saved was by trusting in the truth of Christ. Amen. This morning you trust in treasure. You trust in who your mom and daddy is, your papa and your mama. Amen. If you put any kind of trust in this preacher and this church, and friend, you'll still die in your sin and go to hell. Amen. Because you're trusting in something that is dead. Amen. Something with no life. Amen. But we're believing today and putting our trust in a Redeemer that paid the price. The price that he paid. Notice with me, I think we can draw from this. Brother Larry, this morning, not only the price that Jesus paid, we could talk about the place Jesus laid. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he's alive. Job didn't say just alive for a little while. He uses that old English form, amen, of a ending of a word, that little E-T-H on there. Amen means he's been alive, he is alive, and he's always going to be alive.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And so we understand that when it comes to our redemption, amen, that we're trusting in a living Redeemer. Amen. We think about the fact that 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His only begotten Son into the world. Amen. That whosoever would believe in Him, amen, would not perish but have everlasting life. And He came, wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh. Amen. He walked among us and He lived among us. And thank God He did so perfectly. Amen. Thank God 33 and a half years later. Amen. He was betrayed into the hands of his enemy. Amen. They led him 2,000 years ago. Amen. To a place of suffering, a place of bloodshed, a place where he would lay down his life on an old rugged cross. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went and begged the dead, bloody, beaten body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They prepared it and they laid him in a grave. Amen. But after 3 days and 3 nights, thank God he got up and he's alive forevermore. So we look today to the place that he laid. We recall the message of that first resurrection morning when the women went to the tomb to prepare his body. Amen. And the angel met them there and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Glory to God. Behold the place that he lay. Have a look. He is not here. He is risen. That's been the message the world has needed to hear. Amen. For 2,000 years, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Yes, he came and he lived and he's the one that liveth. Amen. He's the one that, yes, did die. Amen. Gave up the ghost, paid the price. Amen. For our sin, but behold the place in his life. Amen. He is not dead anymore. Behold the place he lay. You can go to Jerusalem today and you can walk into his tomb and there ain't a bone nowhere in sight.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
There ain't a body nowhere. There ain't a corpse anywhere. There ain't a pile of dust anywhere. Amen. Why? Because he got up out of the grave. Amen. And he took the keys of death and of hell with him. Amen. He conquered them and made a show of them openly. Amen. And all the way to these 2,000 years later, amen, we're still singing, we're still believing, we're still trusted. Amen. That our Savior lives in this world. He's alive. He's alive. And amen, you can go the place that he laid. And when you walk away, if you're saved, you'll have to say, for I know my Redeemer liveth. Notice with me not only the price that Jesus paid and the place that Jesus laid, but in this phrase, and I'm almost done, notice the person Jesus saved. Say, saved? But Lucas say it. Saved? What do you mean saved? What do you mean? There's no salvation. Oh yeah, there is. Job said, for I know, don't you miss it, my Redeemer.
Amen.
He is my Redeemer. The one who is living. The one who is alive. The one who in time to come is going to pay the price. Amen. Is going to be buried and raised again. He is now my Redeemer. I'm interested in that this morning. Amen. You say, what kind of person does Jesus save? Amen. Oh, he saves the sinner. He saves the drunkard. He saves the most vile among men. Amen. He saves the pillhead. He saves the rebel. He saves the one who is lost in religion. He saves the one who does really, really good things. And the one who does really, really bad things. Are you listening to me today? Amen. But you got to get tapped into the faith. Amen. That Jesus came and paid it all. And Christ went to the cross. He went to the tomb. He was buried, but he was raised. Amen. So that you might be the one that could be saved by his grace. He is my Redeemer. Now I hope he's yours.
Amen.
I mean, I'd be real excited if you could lift your hand today and say, oh boy, you better believe he's my Redeemer.
Amen.
But if you don't know that or you would even lie about that, one thing remains true and constant in my life. I know he is my Redeemer.
Amen. That's right.
I'm not asking, is your spouse saved?
Right.
I ain't asking if your parents or grandparents are saved. I'm asking today, have you ever put your trust in the one who went to Calvary and died and was buried and rose again? Do you know him today to be your personal Redeemer?
Amen. Amen.
That was Job's hope.
Right.
Job is saying all through the chapter, I don't like what's happened to me.
Yes, amen.
I don't necessarily enjoy what I'm going through.
Yes,
it's been hard. But I'm still glad that I know who my Redeemer is. You got to know that in this life. You got to know that in this life. Sister Candy, make your way on if you would. You got to know that in this life. I know this is simple. This ain't deep. Lord didn't give me nothing deep to tell you today. But he gave me what you need to hear. Jesus paid the price.
Thank God.
Jesus went to the grave. Jesus went and conquered hell.
Amen.
Got up the third day.
Amen.
So that he could reach out to you this morning and say, I want to be your Redeemer.
Amen.
So how do you know that? Look at Calvary and look at the empty tomb. You're the reason he did all that. He done all that so you wouldn't have to have a dead hope in your treasure. He did all that so you wouldn't have to walk around, amen, with a dead hope in tradition and being religious. He did all that so you wouldn't have to have a dead hope.
Amen.
Trusting in your own dead works. He did all that he did, Brother Larry, so that we could lay hold on a Redeemer that is alive. And embrace him and say, I know that I know that I know who my Redeemer is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
In a world that is getting further and further from their Creator, they're getting further and further away from the Redeemer.
Right.
further and further, harder and harder toward Him.
Amen.
He's the only one that can save you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Job knew this. This was his hope.
Amen.
I have a Redeemer that is alive. Job had a hope in a return that was authoritative. He said, and He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth.
Yes, sir.
He's not only the one that lives and is my Redeemer, He's the one coming back to this thing.
Amen.
When He does, everybody's going to have to answer to Him.
Amen.
See, you don't answer to me today. Amen. That's where people miss it. They hear the plowman, amen, preach the word, and they get offended at the plowman as though you think, I think, you're going to stand before me one day. You don't stand before me. I'm just telling you, there's one mightier and greater coming, amen, behind me that you are going to stand before one day. You better make sure when He comes again and returns, you're found on the right side. And then Job had a hope of a resurrection that was altering. I just mentioned this. We have many people in our church family. We have folk that are here. In fact, a handful of folk that are here today that are not necessarily a part of our regular church family that have gone through loss. Notice what Job said. Job said, I know this. When He comes back, I'm going to see Him for myself with my own eyes. I'm going to see Him. And even though, and Job is speaking from a standpoint of understanding where he is, and if he remains in the same physical condition much longer, he's going to die. He said, if I got to go to the grave and be consumed and my body return back to the dust, I know He will raise me up. He'll alter this that I'm found in today that is so disgusting to everybody else. He said, I will be able to see Him for myself.
Amen.
And I remind you today, because Jesus got up and resurrected out of the grave, all of those who sleep in Christ, they got saved in this life somewhere along the way. Thank God we have a hope that comforts our heart. Jesus is bringing them up out of the graveyard.
Amen.
We're going to see them again. Amen. And I'm not one of these preachers. I don't give anybody false hope, but I believe in giving people, amen, hope. If you know people who died in the Lord, thank God one of these days all the family's getting back together.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
When we see them, we won't see them like we saw them when they went out of this world.
Right.
Thank God every blemish is going to be gone.
Yeah.
Every failure we ever knew them to have will be wiped away. Amen. No more sickness in their body. No more pain in their body. No more hurting in their body. No more need for medication and oxygen. Amen. And things to, amen, try to treat what it was that eventually took them out. Amen. No more sin. No more tainting in their flesh. No more blemishes. No more failures. No more anything about them that we saw in them when they left. They'll be in the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No wonder we sing, what a day that'll be.
Amen.
No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. That old song said, forever I will be with the one who died. May I say died and was buried and rose again for me.
Amen.
What a day, glorious day that'll be. Said, boy, you act like you got hope. Amen. I do got hope. Amen. I do got hope. I want you to stand just real, real easy now. Don't start packing everything up. I just want you to stand and look this way. Yes, sir.
I'd like to say, Monday, I'll be saved 12 years.
Amen, Gerald. Hallelujah.
April 8th, my brother Tony comes to see me.
Yeah.
Brother Tom.
know he was the blessing of my life.
Hallelujah.
When he come to see me, he said, his dean told him, said, well, he had me on his mind, but the devil told him, the Lord told him not to come because I heard the gospel too much. Brother Thomas said, the Lord didn't tell you that, the devil told you that.
Amen.
And Brother Thomas, I used to stay with him on Friday night, and he had a big influence on me about Christ and stuff.
Yes.
This sermon about Job reminded me a lot of Brother Tony
Hayes. Yes.
I never seen nobody suffer.
That's right.
But he still loved the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and witness to me so I could be saved.
Amen.
And I thank you again, Christ, for have mercy on me and give me another opportunity.
Amen. You glad you're saved, ain't you, Gerald? Amen. We want everybody to know that.
Amen.
Want everybody to know that. Dakota's here this morning. His daddy, we all around here, we just called him Brother Tony. I've said it in many a days. I've never seen a man suffer the way Tony Lehman suffered, physically. Go see him, and Dakota, he just be hurting and suffering, and he'd just go talk about being saved. Now, he may have been crying before you walked in the room. He may have been crying when you left the room. But if you got around him, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I know my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer. That got that man through all the way to the finish line. See, you don't know. Can I tell you, you don't know what you're going to face before you leave this world.
That's right.
Saved or lost, you don't know what you're going to face. You better make sure you're saved. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I know it's a simple message, maybe a little bit scattered. I don't know. I know this is what the Lord just laid on my heart. My Redeemer liveth. Choir sang it to you. My Redeemer liveth. They sang it to you. Jesus paid the price. You've got to believe on Him or you'll bust hell wide open. It's all them scare tactics. You call them what you want. You call them what you want. I'm telling you, you better come to know who the Redeemer is. I wish you'd come today. I wish you'd come today. If you don't know, I ain't talking about walking out of here, well, me and God, I think we got an understanding. That ain't going to cut it. That ain't cutting it, friend. That ain't ever cut it for nobody. You listen, God ain't giving you your own little personal understanding. We all get saved the same way through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to Him and bowing your knee and saying, Lord, I know what I am and I know what I deserve. And Lord, the best I ought to get is anything I could get out of this life. I deserve an eternity in hell. But I'm coming because you sent your Son and you said if I'd come by Him, you'd save me. And anybody who would come, you'd in no wise cast out. And I tell you today, He's still saving sinners from their sin.
Amen.
You can leave here today and say, I know my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer.